Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Drops the throw. Steps up. Floats a bomb up the right seam. Looking for Anderson. He's got it. They're not going to catch him. He's going to go the distance. Touchdown. Sam Darnold dials it up to Robbie Anderson. 92 yards.
Anderson, 10 yards deflected. And picked up Mosey. He'll take it in. It's a pick six and a touchdown.
Bell. Into the middle of that line, and it's a touchdown.
Big return for Crowder, 85 yards.
Pass thrown, there was contact with the quarterback, and it's incomplete. They got pressure on Prescott. It was Adams who came blitzing in.
Hill hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know who that's?
The Q-inator.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the TOJ Digital Studios, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1, and it is time for the weekend mailbag. So for that, of course, we bring in the owner, the operator, the lead reporter, the whole shebang over at JetsInsider.com. And above all of that, a very big deal, Mr. Chris Nimbley. So let's jump right into it with Chef Ozzy, who asks, Gase is really not getting fired? Imagine how bad this team's record would have been with a bad defense and bad special teams. No argument for me on that one. If the defense hadn't performed the way that they did and special teams hadn't performed the way that they did, to a lesser extent than the defense, obviously, the record of this team would have been so abysmal, I don't even want to think about it. And obviously, if the offense had performed at even a bottom third level rather than worst in the league, there's a decent possibility that the Jets could have snuck into the playoffs, because all it would have taken is two more wins in conference to really be in the mix there. So, yeah, there's not really much else I could say on that one. We all have spoken our piece on whether or not Adam Gase should be here in 2020, but he is going to be here. So the only thing that we can do is keep our fingers crossed and hope for the best, and that if the best doesn't happen, that the Johnsons see the light and move on.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I saw what was Sean Stocker who said this to you about the idea of if it was Greg Williams was the head coach and Gase was the offensive coordinator. I think that's a good way to look at it. Now, you know, who knows if Gase would actually be fired, but there would be a lot of people calling for it, or a lot more people willing to entertain the idea. You'd still have people sitting here saying, you know, don't try to give Darnold three offensive coordinators in 3 years. But it would be a lot easier to point at, look at how bad the offense is when that's his only job, even though that's really all, his only job now, because Greg Williams is running the defense. One thing, though, if Greg Williams wasn't running the defense and Brant Boye didn't have the special teams playing as well as they did, Jets would be picking higher in the draft. Maybe they'd have a shot at Chase Young.
You got a point there, Chris, although I'm told that you're a bad fan if you want the team to lose games late in the season against second and third stringers. Of course, that could end up costing them not only, like you were saying, losing a couple of games, maybe being in position to grab Chase Young, but they may also be in a position where, as we outlined before, they either lose out on those three offensive tackles or they're forced to trade additional draft capital to go up and get one. But then again, Chris, you just can't put a price on winning those games late in the season when you have no chance to make the playoffs and you're playing second and third stringers, right?
Oh, absolutely. I really don't understand that logic. I understand if you want to be against tanking from the beginning of the season. I'm fully on board with that. If that's how what you want to do and how you want to do it, cool, I get it.
But once you know that the playoffs are out of reach, what are you doing? Why are you still rooting for to hurt your draft position for meaningless wins? It doesn't make sense. And I get that, like, I get fans who say, you know, I get it. I'd be okay with them losing. But when I'm watching the game, I can't root against my team. I get that. But at least, like, be willing to just shrug off a loss at that point. The season, when the playoffs are over, that's it. And you should stop caring about how much they win or lose by or how many wins or losses they have. You can not be fully on board rooting against them every single week and hoping they lose. That's fine. But to be sitting here saying you're not a real fan, the fans want – the people who were rooting for them to lose at the end of the season and improve their draft stock are doing it because they want the team to get better in the future, and they realize that. So don't – also, and just in general, a blanket statement, if you say you're not a real fan to somebody, you're a bad person. That's a terrible argument, and stop it. Stop telling people they're not real fans. They're not true fans. Stop judging people for how they fan. Stop it.
There's no one way to be a fan. I've talked about this many times. As I've mentioned over and over again, I've been a season ticket holder for close to 35 years. We all want the same thing. We want this team to be good. We all have different ideas of how to make that happen. And so just because somebody disagrees with you or has some other idea of how they think that something should be done doesn't mean that they're a bad fan just because they don't meet your one true fan criteria. And I will also say that in that Bills game, we got the worst of all worlds because not only did the Jets win and hurt their draft position, but they won a close game against second and third stringers in which Sam Darnold did not play well. So you didn't get anything you wanted because you could have lived with it if Darnold lit things up and you said, all right, great, more signs that Darnold is going to be an awesome quarterback, but we didn't even get that. So that was a rough game to watch, no question about it.
Let me just add this too. If there's a scenario like when the Dolphins beat the Patriots and stopped them from getting home field advantage, and now the Patriots are booted out wild card weekend. Okay, I can get that. I can get you wanting to do that, but to root for the Jets to beat the Bills backups in a game that didn't affect their playoff position at all. That, I mean, go ahead and root for the win if you want, but don't knock other fans for rooting for draft position at that point.
Chris, we've got a ton more questions, but before we get to our next one, I just want to tell you about the natural breakthrough pain relief solution, CryoFreeze CBD Roll-On, developed by Omax Health. Best part is it's 100% natural, CBD powered, and it works like magic. Within 10 minutes of application, and relief lasts up to 8 hours, much longer than any of the over-the-counter products you can possibly find. And if you want to try it out, which I highly recommend because I use it myself since I run a lot and I get a lot of pain in my joints and my back and my neck, I've got a special offer for you as a listener of Play Like a Jet. All you've got to do is go over to omaxhealth.com. That's omaxhealth.com. Use the promo code OVERTIME and you'll get yourself 20% off a full bottle of CryoFreeze CBD Pain Relief Roll-On and free shipping. And even better, that promo code is good for a discount on 20% off anything site-wide. So go check it out. Pro athletes use it and so do I, so you know it works. CryoFreeze CBD Roll-On from Omax Health. Go to omaxhealth.com today. Enter the promo code OVERTIME. Get yourself up to 20% off plus free shipping and get rid of that nagging muscle and joint pain today. And with that, let's jump right back into the mailbag. Next question comes in from Wyatt V. Gave Darnold Mono. He says, what do you think will be Joe Douglas's first move in free agency? It's really hard to tell because we don't even know who's going to hit free agency yet, but I'm going to take a wild guess. I think if Brandon Scherff hits free agency, that'll be the first guy that Douglas tries to get.
Yeah, I think it's going to – I'll say this. I think it'll be an offensive lineman. You know, how free agency always works is it's generally the bigger contract, the bigger name guys that get signed earlier. And I don't think the Jets are going to be super active with in those first couple of days. I do think they'll try to identify at least one offensive lineman and try to do that. So if it's going to be somebody in those first couple of days, I think it'll be an offensive lineman. It could be Sheriff. It could be somebody like Joe Thuney from the Patriots if he gets free. But I think if they're going to go make a splashy type, a big name, or not a big name as much as somebody that you have to pay a big contract to, it's going to be an offensive lineman. And I think that Joe Douglas is probably going to take outside of the offensive line, especially looking around to see who's available in free agency this year. You know, maybe Byron Jones is somebody else. If it's not an offensive lineman, maybe that's a name there. But I don't see Joe Douglas going after a bunch of big contracts this offseason. I think he'll probably focus that on the offensive line and then fill out with more mid-tier guys going forward.
Next question comes in from Michael Christopher. He says, so this hasn't been talked about much, but do you think Joe Douglas adds more people to the front office? Last year it was said that he wanted a couple more people from Philly and Daniel Jeremiah, but he couldn't get them. Are you hearing that he will add to this front office in any capacity? And if so, who do you think he would add? Second question, with this class of wide receivers being so deep, would you still be interested in taking Judy or Lamb if they fell to 11 instead of investing it in a premium position such as offensive tackle, whether that's Wills, Thomas, or Wirfs, or a corner they rate high if, say, Okuda dropped to 11? Well, first of all, I don't think there's any chance Okuda is going to drop to 11 unless something really crazy surfaces, so we can put him out of this. As far as the wide receivers, I think it really depends on how the board falls. If you get to a point where Wirfs, Thomas, and Wills all go off the board early, but Judy or Lamb is still there at 11, unless you get a really nice offer to trade down, I think you would take Judy or Lamb because I think they can be difference makers. I don't think that either one of those guys makes it to 11, but crazier things have happened. You never know. Sometimes wacky things happen on draft day, and there's a lot of the process to play out. You got the combines, the workouts, the pro days, all of that. As far as the other question, I don't know anything about that in terms of who they may add to the front office, so I'll throw that to you, Chris. I'm not sure if you've heard anything, but if you had, I'm curious to hear who they might be considering adding to the front office.
Yeah, I'll start with that part first. I haven't really heard anything. It's not something I've been looking into lately, though. But I will start doing some digging on that. Go ahead. This is the perfect time to go ahead and look into something like that because, you know, there's not a lot going on. So I can usually get some good information now, checking around now. So I'll look into that and report back in the future on that. But right now, there's nothing jumping out at me that I'm aware of. I'm going to agree with pretty much everything you said about the offensive line wide receiver thing there. It's going to depend, it's going to depend on how the board falls. It's going to depend on what Joe Douglas has. I don't know much about Wirfs yet. I haven't started any study on him, but there does seem to be some split from what I've seen other people talking about him, opinion. So maybe Joe Douglas doesn't like him as much as other people do. Maybe he does. I agree that Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb are probably both likely to be gone by then, but I would be shocked if CeeDee Lamb is available because CeeDee Lamb to the Cardinals just makes all the sense in the world to me. If he's still on board for the Cardinals, I don't see them passing up. That would seem to be a perfect fit for Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury. So I'd be perfectly fine with taking one of those two guys, though. Again, regardless of what happens with Robbie Anderson, they keep him and they move on. Either way, I think both of them would be a perfect fit. I do completely understand the logic of saying, hey, this is a really deep class. We can get somebody in the second round or third round, and we can get one of those top offensive linemen, and I'd be fine with that. But I'd also be fine with, like I said, if Joe Douglas decided Wirfs wasn't what he wanted, didn't like him that much, if he went the wide receiver route too. If they stay at 11 and they get an offensive line, one of those offensive linemen or one of those receivers, I promise you, you will not hear me criticize it one bit whatsoever. But, yeah, this is a really deep class. So, you know, and if they don't bring back Robbie and those top two receivers are gone, maybe go for somebody like Henry Ruggs who can stretch the field too. There's just going to be so many options at receivers. So I'd be fully on board with a prioritizing offensive line there. But this is just my bias. And again, me falling for the shiny explosive things. Oh, man, I love Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb. So if they're on the board and the Jets pass on, it's going to hurt my heart a little bit.
Next question comes in from Randy Sherman. He says, do you see Joe Douglas making cuts or moves with some of these assistant coaching positions like Loggins and Pollock? Also, when is the right time to make these cuts with all the head coaching changes? I would guess sooner rather than later. I think Pollock is probably more likely to go than Loggins because I think Loggins is Gase's boy, so he's probably fairly protected. As far as when this would happen, I would say, yeah, it would be pretty soon because they'd want to go out and be able to get the right guy to fill the role. So, Chris, have you heard anything about Loggins or Pollock? I'm actually kind of surprised Pollock made it through the whole season, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, it's better. It would be definitely 100% be better to do it sooner than later. And the fact that it hasn't been done now makes me think it's not going to be done at all. I agree with you that Pollock would be more at risk than Dow. Loggins isn't going anywhere. Not happening. At this point, though, I don't think that Pollock's going to go either. Now, who knows? Maybe somebody shakes free that Gase would really like, and then he makes a decision. But generally, the assistants are let go by now if they're going to be let go. It does happen later sometimes. But if they were going to make a move at that with Pollock, I think they would have already done it.
Next question comes in from Gus Toon. He says, isn't re-signing Robbie Anderson a no-brainer? No way this team can rely on Anunua staying healthy. And so if Anderson leaves, the only thing the Jets would have is Jamison Crowder. Robbie Anderson is the top-rated wide receiver in free agency, so surely it makes sense to pay him, especially with the chemistry that him and Sam Darnold have. So I think that what happened with the Jets is Mike Maccagnan made a mistake and now the Jets are backed into a corner. What I mean is they should have signed Robbie Anderson at the end of last season. They would have gotten a much better deal. But now, considering the need at wide receiver with a bunch of teams, the fact that a lot of these teams have cap space and Robbie Anderson is clearly the top guy in free agency at wide receiver, the Jets may end up having to pay him a lot more money to keep him than they ever would have thought. And so the question could come down to, do you want to pay Robbie Anderson an amount of money that you never expected to have to pay him, something along the lines of $14, $15 million a year, or do you let him walk for nothing? So again, Mike Maccagnan's bad decisions are hurting the Jets. But I will say that I think that the Jets should make every effort to re-sign Robbie Anderson. There's got to be a breaking point for the contract. If somebody offers him some insane amount of money that the Jets feel it wouldn't be wise to match, then fine. But you've got to make every effort to keep him because, yes, he's developed chemistry with Sam Darnold. And yes, he's not a number one receiver. He's not a great receiver. He's a good receiver. And he's limited in a lot of areas, but we know what he does well. We know it's a valuable skill set. And we know that, more importantly than any of that, if he's gone, you've got to replace him. And so then you put yourself into a corner where you have to draft somebody to make an impact right away, or you have to find some way to get somebody via trade or free agency. And there doesn't seem to be a lot out there for you. So I think that the Jets should absolutely make every effort to keep Anderson. There should be a breaking point from a monetary standpoint. But even if you have to pay a little bit more than you were expecting, say $13 million a year or something like that, the cap's going to go up. You don't really have a lot of other options, so you may just have to bite the bullet and do it. Say a four-year, $52 million deal with half of that guaranteed or something along those lines.
He's not a number one receiver. Who cares? You need a number two receiver. People really don't value Robbie enough, and he's not a number one receiver, a great overall receiver, but he is great at what he does best. And it's the old Belichick line. Don't show me what a player can't do. Show me what he can do, and I'll get the most out of him. That ability to stretch the field is so valuable. Even when he's not getting the ball thrown at him, the defense has to pay so much attention to him. And they have to pay attention to him going deep, which opens things up for everybody else in the middle. And if you get rid of him, all of a sudden you're down to Jamison Crowder. And you open up another hole on a team that already is already Swiss cheese with all the holes. The Jets can't be in a position
to just be getting rid of some of their only good weapons. It doesn't make sense to me. I fully agree with you. I'm not giving Robbie a blank check and saying, here, whatever you want, we're giving it to you. But within reason, you have to do everything to try to bring him back. Because of his chemistry with Sam Darnold, because of his ability to stretch the field, I still think Robbie can do more intermediate short stuff than he has done. But also, and you know, people talk about there's all that the points about contested catches, which he has improved on a lot. He does have really strong hands. Yeah, he drops some passes all every now and then. Most receivers do. Brandon Marshall led the league in drops almost every year of his career. He was still a receiver you wanted on your team almost every year of his career. That's going to happen. It's like saying you don't want a cornerback because he got beat a couple times during the season. Cornerbacks get beat. Wide receivers sometimes drop passes. Quarterbacks sometimes throw bad passes. Like great cornerbacks, like that happens as part of the game. Robbie has a skill set that is really hard to find, at least to be that consistent and that good with. And he is that good at that. And if you get rid of him, they're going to have a lot harder time stretching the field and opening up the middle of the field. And you will see Sam Darnold will have a lot tighter windows to work with if there's no Robbie Anderson there to stretch the field. And even the idea of, hey, this is a really deep receiver class, we can just replace him in the draft. Man, Darnold going to his third year, you can't just say, okay, we're just going to rely on rookies now. I know Deebo Samuel had a really good year this year, and Terry McLaurin and A.J. Brown were great this year. You can't just bank on a rookie receiver to be as good as Robbie Anderson is right now. As much as I love Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb and Bolt and think they will definitely be much better than Robbie Anderson in like 2-3 years, it's going to take some adjusting for them to do. I saw a Kyle Shanahan quote the other day about receivers coming from college and how route running in college is not really that important, because college defenses play so much zone, and because of how the hash marks are different, that they kind of just have receivers just run and get open. They don't need to be so precise in their routes. And so there's a learning curve for receivers. There's a learning curve for every position going into college. And just because a couple of rookies had great years doesn't mean that even CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy can be counted on to be a great right off the jump. So I cannot find a possible reason to say no to Robbie Anderson unless the money gets out of control.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Next question comes in from Gus Toon again. He says, with all these quarterbacks now declaring, do you think the Jets pick might have more value to a quarterback-hungry team wanting to trade up? Also, would Joe Douglas value getting more picks over a stud player in this draft? So let's start with the first part of that. I don't really think that the quarterbacks are going to impact things. I think that if Justin Herbert does really well at the combine and his stock shoots up, he'll probably go above where the Jets are anyway. And Tua is a mortal lock to go above the Jets, and so is Burrow. So I don't see a scenario where the quarterback really plays into things for the Jets, although I guess anything could happen. As far as Joe Douglas and whether or not he would value a stud over more picks, it really depends on what he thinks of particular players. For instance, we talked about the Andre Dillard scenario from last year with the Eagles. Clearly, the Eagles loved Andre Dillard, and so they valued getting Dillard more than stockpiling picks. Is there a player in this draft that Joe Douglas feels that way about? Maybe. No way to know that without asking Joe Douglas, and I'm pretty sure he's not going to tell me even if I did. So we'll find out soon enough what his philosophy is, or if there's a specific player or specific players that he values more than stockpiling picks.
I don't think that there's going to be a quarterback sitting at 11 that's going to that some team's going to want to trade up for or trade a bunch of picks. I don't think that's going to happen. But the idea, obviously, Burrow's almost certainly going to go number one. Tua's probably going to be gone by the time the Dolphins pick. And then I could see Herbert going to the Chargers or somebody else. But that will help, you know, at least increase the odds that one of those tackles or one of those receivers is available. If you get three quarterbacks gone before the Jets pick, then that's just eight players, other players. One of them we know will be Chase Young. It's still, even that scenario, it still probably seems unlikely that one of those tackles or those top two receivers will be available. But it does increase the odds a bit. So, you know, maybe the Chargers aren't all about a Herbert, and maybe he slips to 11, and then there's somebody who's thinking, okay, let's trade up for him. Maybe the Dolphins are worried about Tua's hip and the medical thing, and maybe they'll pass, and then somebody's willing to jump all the way up to 11 for him. But I would say that seems unlikely. As far as Joe Douglas valuing multiple picks, that it's going to depend on who's on board and how many picks they're getting in return. But I can tell you this, Joe Douglas would like more picks. So if there's not somebody on the board at 11 that he's absolutely in love with, then yes, he would absolutely entertain that idea. It's just how many picks is he getting back? How far back? You know, it's one of these things. If you're going to drop from 11 to 13, you're going to need a lot less picks back in return than if you're dropping from 11 to 24. So how far down are they going to go? Who's he going to target in that range? There's all those things. And you bring up the Dillard situation again, and I should have added this on. We were talking about it earlier. But you always have to look at the teams ahead of you. If you're targeting a position or a player, look at the teams ahead of you to see if somebody's going to try to take him before you, try to jump up. Because, again, you obviously want to be able to stay put at 11 and get the guy you want. But that Dillard example is a perfect example of what can go wrong with just staying put. Because the Texans stayed put, the Eagles jumped them, took Dillard, and then what happened? The Texans were forced to trade a whole bunch of draft picks for Laremy Tunsil because they needed that guy for this season. And it's going to be the same thing for the Jets going into next season. All the talk about how the offensive line was so bad, and so you can't really – judge Gase, and you can't judge Darnold because of it. Darnold going into his third year, you're going to need that guy, that offensive tackle. So they can't just afford to just sit here and risk letting somebody else jump them or beat them to the punch if they have a chance to get one of those three guys and they like them.
My friend Chris Walker had an interesting point about the Tua situation. He said a lot of Jets fans are looking at Tua entering the draft as a win for the Jets because that means that he's going to go ahead of them and that'll push somebody else down. And he said, yeah, that's true, but the Dolphins are probably going to get Tua. And so, yeah, it's great that it pushes guys down, but the bad news is you're going to have to deal with Tua for the next 10 to 15 years. So there's pluses and minuses to it. Hopefully he does end up pushing somebody down, because if he goes to the Dolphins, I don't know that that's a positive at all for the Jets. In fact, on the contrary, I think it'd be quite the negative. Next question comes in from Chaz Maz. He says, as much as it would be nice to lock up Jamal Adams long term, isn't the smart thing to do to just ride it out? They can keep him for two more years and franchise him in a position that won't command ridiculous money, so perhaps even franchise him twice. It is actually going to command ridiculous money, I think, though, because he would have to be paid top safety money. And right now, I believe Landon Collins is making $16 or $17 million a year. That's going to continue to rise as more and more safeties get paid. I know Eddie Jackson just got paid, and you're going to see a few more. Plus, Derwin James is going to get a monster contract when he eventually gets locked up, and he would get locked up ahead of Jamal Adams in this scenario, because you're saying you would play out the string. If you look at what happened with Robbie Anderson, or Kirk Cousins would be the extreme example. That's why I think you want to lock these players up early if they're elite and they're young. You can get them at a price right now that is cheaper for the long haul. If you wait, that price is going to go up. Also, the cap is going to rise too. So if you get them now, a deal that looks crazy right now in a couple of years is not going to look that crazy. In fact, Cousins is a good example. $28 million a year, people were flipping out when that happened. Now you're hearing about Dak Prescott possibly getting $40 million a year. So just keep that in mind when you think about this. I do think that if the Jets aren't blown out of the water with a trade offer for Jamal Adams, they should look to lock him up, because I think that he proved this year, and I think Greg Williams did a great job of deploying him in a way that proved it. Ironic, because a lot of people thought that Greg Williams didn't know how to use Jamal Adams, which he clearly now has shown that he did. He used him in a way that helped him turn into another Troy Polamalu. And even if Greg Williams isn't here, he set the blueprint for whoever the defensive coordinator would be after him. So I think that if they don't get a ridiculous trade offer for him, they should look to lock him up. And I think in the long run, it'll be beneficial.
Yeah. I'll say it again. If you know you have a player that you're going to want to keep on, you're going to want to sign eventually. Once you know that, you sign him that day if you can. That very day, because the price is only going to go up more and more and more. And again, Eddie Jackson just signed that huge contract. Landon Collins got that huge contract. You have to take the average salary of the top five safeties. And that's not going to be cheap to franchise tag him and then franchise tag him twice. And he is a valuable piece of this defense. The idea that Greg Williams wasn't going to know how to use him was ludicrous to me. That was one of the biggest draws of hiring Greg Williams to me, was him using Jamal Adams. Now, I get concern if you're wondering how Greg Williams is going to use a free safety, but to use a free strong safety that plays a lot near the line of scrimmage, yeah, that there should have never been a concern about that. But again, if you know you're going to sign somebody to another contract, don't wait those couple years. It's going to go up. And yes, you're going to, if you sign him this offseason, it's going to be a big number. But guess what? That number is going to be locked in and the salary cap is going to grow. So it'll look like such a huge number this year. Sign him to a 5-year deal or whatever. In 2 years, that deal is going to look like a steal. So always sign the guy as early as possible once you know you are definitely going to want to sign him. Don't wait. It's only going to cost you more.
Next question comes in from Fuego Jets Takes again. He says, what free agent cornerback that costs less than $10 million a year do you want the Jets to sign? So I'm going to take an unconventional route here. I think if Sidney Jones gets cut by the Eagles, that would be an interesting guy to look at, because I loved what he did in college, and I know he's been slowed down by the injury and he's been a disappointment in Philadelphia, but I also know that Joe Douglas obviously really liked him because he had a big hand in drafting him. And he's still young enough that I think taking a flyer on him and seeing what he could bring to the table would be a pretty good idea. And you can get him on the cheap. So that's my answer for getting a cornerback under $10 million. If Sidney Jones is cut, I wouldn't mind taking a flyer on him.
Yeah, I mean, the under $10 million part of this is makes it tricky because there's not a lot of there's not a lot of good options out there with cornerback. Obviously, we've talked about Byron Jones, maybe somebody like James Bradbury from Carolina, but they're both going to command over $10 million. You got somebody like Chris Harris still playing good, but he's going to command over that as well, even at his age. And then pretty much all the other there's some good corners available after there, but they're pretty much all mostly slot corners there. I'd rather just try to bring back Brian Poole and roll with him. So I would think if there's going to be somebody there, Sidney Jones is somebody I would be willing to take a flyer on as well. It's probably going to be somebody who is not at really technically a free agent right now. But yeah, so that the under 10 million part is what makes this tricky. And again, with most of the good options that you could probably get under there being slot corners, Darquez Denard is somebody. Obviously, he's had trouble staying healthy. Maybe Kendall Fuller, somebody. Maybe you take a shot at Jimmy Smith. I don't know how much he's going to get. Maybe that could be at his age, his injury issues. Maybe that would be under $10 million, do a shorter term deal there for him. But there's not going to be a lot of like options you're going to feel really comfortable starting with, having starting for under $10 million. If you're looking for a starter, it's probably going to be Bradbury or Byron Jones, and they're going to cost more than $10 million.
Next question comes in from Jets Joe 73. He says, Lord of the Rings movies or Hobbit movies? If you had to travel across the middle of the earth, which three current Jets would you take with you? Your Frodo and Loggins is Samwise. I don't know what any of that means, I'll be honest with you. I fell asleep halfway through Lord of the Rings. My buddy Matt at the time was like, I love Lord of the Rings. You got to watch it. And I was like, I don't know if it's really my thing. He's like, just check it out. So I watched half of it, and by the time the first half was over, I looked at him and I said, listen, dude, you know, you're my boy and all that. I gave it a shot, but this ain't going to happen. And he's like, what? It's just getting good. I'm like, I'm sorry, man. This is just not my thing. And I'm not saying that Lord of the Rings is bad. It's just not really for me. So just so we start with that, so everybody knows that I have no idea what any of these references mean. I would say, though, if I had to travel to the middle of the earth with any three Jets, I want somebody that's fast, I want somebody that's strong, and I want somebody that's entertaining, because this is a long journey and I need somebody that's going to make me laugh. So I want Sean Jefferson with me, the wide receivers coach, so that's number one. He's going to be the one that's going to entertain me and tell me funny stories. The second guy that I want, the strong guy, he's still under contract right now, we'll see what happens, but I want Brian Winters with me because that's the dude that I want for strength. And since I can't pick Robbie Anderson because he's not technically under contract right now, I'm going to go with Trenton Cannon because that's my guy that'll give me the speed.
All right. Well, I have to go with Winters too. Not just for the strength reason, but he's a hunter. If I'm going through something like that, I need somebody who's going to be able to get me food, because guess what? I can't. I will die of starvation. I'm not built for that life. So I'm going to need Brian Winters with me there. Yeah, he's not the only one there, but he's the most avid. He's the one that I'm going to roll with there. I'll go with Le'Veon Bell, too. Le'Veon would be very entertaining. He will make me laugh. I'd have fun talking to him, building with him. And he's plenty of fast to handle anything like that. So I'll go with those two. And then the third, I'll go with Sam. And I'm going to go with Sam just because – Sam's going to be just ready to roll with everything. He's just going to be, okay, cool, let's go. All right, he's not going to be a drag on us. He's not going to slow us down. He's just going to not fight anybody about anything. He's just going to be willing to just roll with whatever we have to roll with and do whatever we need to do. So I'll go with those as my three.
That's going to wrap up part one of the weekend mailbag. We'll be back with part two tomorrow. In the meantime, make sure that you're checking out Chris's very big deal work over at jetsinsider.com and that you're following him on Twitter at CNimbly and at Jets Insider. And if you haven't had a chance to check out all the great shows that we've done here on Play Like a Jet throughout the week, I suggest you go back into our archives and give them a listen. Connor Rogers came on Monday for a roundtable discussion that was really awesome. He even previewed some of his favorite prospects for this draft real early because we know that the whole process has to play out. And Connor will be in Mobile this week. And don't forget, we'll have Clayton Smarslock on to talk about what's going on because he will be down there for TurnOnTheJets.com as well. On Tuesday, we had a brand new episode of Chronicles of Narnia where we began to explain the Darnold Project. We're going to be rolling that out weekly for quite a while. Michael sat down and watched every single play of Sam Darnold's career again, graded the plays, graded the games, has a whole criteria of how it breaks down. I think it's a lot more transparent and a lot more accurate than PFF, so it's going to be a lot of fun to go through that. On Wednesday, we did midweek with Manish. Since it's the offseason, I thought it would be fun to go through the Rex Ryan era and just tell the most fun stories and get through the highlights. It's not going to be like the series that we've done on the specific seasons where we have a player or somebody that was there behind the scenes that goes through every game and every nook and cranny of the season. It's not like that. This is going to be more about what it was like for Manish on the Jets beat and some of the stories that he remembers. We did part one. It was a lot of fun. Part two will be coming up next week. We had another roundtable with the great Chris Moore of WFAN and CBS Sports Radio, where we discussed a lot of interesting topics, including his decision to finally abandon his fandom of the New York Jets. He explains why. He also explains his recent viral rant against Adam Gase and what he sees as a major shortcoming of the New York Jets head coach. Whole lot of other topics too. As always, Chris is very entertaining and informative. So if you missed that, listen to that as well. And Jamal Westerman came on for Off the Edge with Jamal Westerman to talk about the process of getting ready for all these postseason all-star games, the combine, and he told a firsthand account straight through from the end of the season, his last year at Rutgers, all the way up through making the Jets, his journey of getting ready for these combines, for the workouts, and how he found a way onto an NFL roster. It was a fantastic story. Jamal remembered every detail and talked about so many cool things that you won't hear anywhere else because it's very rare that you get an inside look like that, a first-person account of what it's like to go through that process. So if you missed that, make sure you give that a listen as well. And if you haven't had a chance to give us a 5-star review on iTunes, I'd love it if you could do that for us. It doesn't take much time. It doesn't cost you any money, but it's an easy way to help out the show. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd really appreciate it. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts, you know where to go. That's Turn on the Jets Digital and TurnOnTheJets.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.